Good evening, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car in the polar north. And I'm not talking about Minnesota. That was the last game. I'm talking about West Lafayette, Indiana, where Purdue just defeated Northwestern 79-61. This is your GoldenBlack.com drive home post-game podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at East End Grill and Ripple & Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I will be driving by here shortly. I might be a little bit incoherent during this podcast. My face is frozen. My jaw is not really moving very well. My car says it's 26 degrees outside. I wholeheartedly disagree. It takes a lot to make me think, man, I wish I was wearing earmuffs. Because I've never worn earmuffs in my life. But I really wish I had earmuffs on right now. Anyway. Yeah, that's what you're listening to. That's what you're spending your time on here, guys. Purdue wins 79-61 over Northwestern, the exact opposite of what I expected to see coming to Mackey Arena today. Purdue and Northwestern have typically been death matches. They have been octagon-worthy basketball games. They have been plain hideous, and they have taken forever. This was the opposite. This was not the ugly mud wrestling sort of game Northwestern has typically made these games into. It was actual free-flowing basketball, and it went by pretty quick, actually, pleasantly surprisingly. And it was Purdue who was the defensive authority in this game, continuing a pretty positive trend here lately for the Boilermakers, turning into a pretty solid defensive team here. You know, Toledo and Minnesota, Purdue's past two opponents, aren't very good teams. So, talking about Purdue playing well defensively against those teams, you know, has to be framed in that context. But Northwestern, while not the greatest offensive team in college basketball, has two really, really tough matchups in Nick Martinelli and Brooks Barnheiser, both of whom came in averaging 20.1 points per game, making them 2A and 2B for all intents and purposes in the Big Ten and scoring behind Dylan Harper. And, you know, that they offered some really hard matchups for Purdue because of their versatility and size. And, you know, they have Caleb first at the four, C.J. Cox basically at the three right now. And they're more perimeter skilled than Caleb first might be best equipped to handle, and bigger than C.J. Cox would be accustomed to defending. But this was not a one-man matchup for either player. Purdue built a great game plan of overloading the side of whatever player had the ball and then just forcing them to make tough reversals or baiting them into driving into traffic. And the result was those two guys, I think, were like 6 of 23 from the floor with 10 turnovers between them. Both of them were completely eliminated from this. Martinelli got 4 of his points off fouls when this game was long decided. After this game was long since decided, I should say. Again, that's the frozen jaw. It's making me inarticulate. But Martinelli got to 10 points based off meaningless cheap fouls in garbage time. And Barnheiser finished with 8 turnovers. I think he was 4 of 15 from the floor or some such thing. Martinelli only got 8 shots off. I'm sure that's not what Northwestern's plan was. I thought Purdue really kind of baited them into doing things they shouldn't have been doing. Doing things they probably can't do in some cases. And just had a great game plan. And one that this team really executed very well. And that always shows you when a team is listening and paying attention to detail and on defense playing for one another and playing connected and things like that. That's a great sign going forward, because this is a Purdue team that needs to get to a level defensively where they're good enough to beat good offensive teams. I don't know who that would be in the Big Ten right now other than Illinois. But this is a Purdue group that needs to be better as a whole than it is as individuals, and it is showing some real characteristics compatible with that goal. And that's a very positive thing. Purdue is really trying hard on the boards, really, really rebounding at a level that probably is something more than the sum of its parts. You know, once again, this is not your typical Purdue team of late, where they're not all that imposing physically. They don't have great size. They have to make up for it with effort and energy and being conscientious about it. And that's exactly what you're seeing. Purdue out-rebounded Northwestern today by five in a game against an opponent that atypically has a size advantage against Purdue. Purdue out-rebounded them. Purdue did a lot of damage on the offensive glass. Purdue gave up some offensive rebounds, but Northwestern missed so many shots. I think that's more of, that's more about a numbers game than anything. But you're seeing everybody go to the glass. Of the five players who started this game, four of them had six or more rebounds, which is a pretty notable number. That's kind of really something. C.J. Cox had eight rebounds to lead everybody in the game, which part of that is him being on the floor at the end when no other starters were. But at the same time, that's still a lot of rebounds for a 6'2" guard in his fifth Big Ten game or fourth Big Ten game, whatever it is. So good on him. And, you know, Braden Smith is rebounding with abandon, and Trey Kaufman-Rand is really being physical and trying hard and making things happen on the glass, even though his numbers aren't anywhere near what Purdue's used to at that position, and probably not even what Trey Kaufman-Rand would like them to be from an average rebounding perspective. So just a lot of gritty stuff going Purdue's way right now. Caleb First is playing very well. Jakari Harris is playing very well. This might have been Jakari Harris's best game of the season, if you ask me, in the context of who they're playing. You know, that sort of stuff. And, you know, he's trending very well at the right time. And, you know, he went through some ups and downs early in the year, but he's trending very well. You kind of got to watch him to see what he's doing, as opposed to looking at his numbers. But he is trending very well. Miles Colvin did some really positive things in this game, made a couple of threes, which he needed more than anyone on this team. You know, Camden Heidi didn't really put up any numbers, got in foul trouble, but he made some things happen too. So thinking he played bad just because his numbers weren't there, he made a really, really heady play to run down a player on a breakaway and foul him instead of giving up the layup, and then the guy missed two free throws. So he basically took 2 points off the board for Northwestern in that sense. Purdue went down the other end and scored off of that. And big swing in the game, and something Chris Collins even made note of in his post-game press conference, that he finally showed up for. This has nothing to do with anything you're concerned about, but we did not get the players in the post-game media session that we requested because Chris Collins took too long and Trey Kaufman-Rand had to leave to go do something with his family. Braden Smith couldn't wait around either, or didn't wait around, or one or the other, whatever it might have been. So all due respect to Miles Colvin and Jakari Harris, who both played very well, but that's not the press conference we envisioned. And it was 100% because Chris Collins took too long to get to the press conference. The home team can't go until the visiting team is done now, because Elisa Bluter complaining at Nebraska last year after a women's basketball game, and Northwestern wanted to go first to get home. Completely understandable. But if you're going to do that, show up promptly, please. We are the least of anyone's concerns after these games, as we should be. But if you say you want to go and get out of here, show up and get out of here. And when you just got routed on somebody else's home floor, I know you have things you want to say to your team, but you got a bus ride home to say it. You got, you know, all sorts of opportunities. I'm not being a jerk about it. I'm trying not to sound like a jerk about this, but it's hard to make this point without sounding like a jerk. But that was kind of frustrating. So anyway, so Purdue wins, whatever the score was, 81 to No, 79-61. And it looks like Purdue is taking some steps forward here. And, you know, I always thought, I let off my video with this point, but I always thought that there was kind of like an extra gear that Purdue was building up toward once they got away from some of those really problematic SEC matchups against really, really good non-conference opponents away from Mackey Arena, which is a big part of this too. And, you know, that was kind of a warped reality and something that fans weren't used to, Purdue losing non-conference games. So I think that things probably got a little bit misperceived in terms of what Purdue actually is this year. I said all along, they're still a very, very, very good team. And I think there was something more they were working toward. And I think maybe you saw them take a step toward that here today. Northwestern is never easy to play against. One thing to make note of, they were 1-2 in the Big Ten coming in here. Their one win was over Illinois, who, you know, you can have a long conversation about who's the best team in the Big Ten right now between Purdue and Illinois and not come to a conclusive answer. But also, their two wins, or their two losses, were both very close games at Penn State and at Iowa. Two very, very eventful finishes to those games, to put it nicely. Northwestern would tell you that they probably got cheated to a certain extent in both games, or lost in very difficult circumstances. I, for one, would have no sympathy for Northwestern, given the way things have played out in front of my own eyes a couple of times when Purdue has played them. But they're very close. They are a matter of sequences away from being 3-0 in the Big Ten coming into Mackey Arena. And that's the team that Purdue just absolutely walloped. And I think that's the important backstory of this. And you know what? I just passed Whitaker in. That's my gong in the gong show. So that means I got to wrap this thing up. So from Purdue's 79-61 win over Northwestern, this is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com. Once again, live in my car, begging you to please leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform or whatever platform you listen to these things on. Pleasative, is that what I said? I just combined pleasant and positive into one word and just created a word that will now become a hashtag and probably a running joke on this podcast from here on out. But anyway, if you could leave us a pleasant, positive, polite, say that 10 times fast when you're dead exhausted and your face is frozen, comment on your favorite podcast platform, I would appreciate it very much. Thank you to the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn for your support. As always, I will talk to you guys again on Thursday night from my natural habitat of New Jersey after Purdue plays at Rutgers. So thanks a lot, everybody. Bye now.